phone, do what I just did, hit off and go poop, and turn that thing off right now, and we'll have no distractions from that. Amen. You won't have to buy me a pizza, a vegan pizza, for your cell phone going off. All right. We want you to take your Bible tonight and turn back to Psalm 83. We're looking to the final message on this psalm, but not on the Middle East and what's going on. We will be doing more with that. But Psalm 83 tonight, and we've been looking at, this is part five, what does the attack from Gaza mean to you? And this attack from Gaza happened our time, Eastern Standard, October 8, 1:55 a.m. Israel time, it would have been October 7th. But at any rate, this, I believe, is huge in what it means to you. It also means a lot to the Israeli people. I've been in touch with what's going on over there, and this is what I understand. The soldiers, and we've been praying for soldiers that are over there. We've been praying for Lisa's relatives and Andy's granddaughter and so forth and so on. But the soldiers are getting word right now. These are the Israeli soldiers that I'm hearing. They are getting word from the brass in Israel to hunker down and plan to spend the winter in Gaza. That there's going to be a ground campaign, in other words, and plan to be there for the whole winter. So that's what's going on the ground over there. But we're looking at what the Bible says, that what does this attack from Gaza and from the Palestinians in Gaza, what does that mean to you? And we're in Psalm 83, and we found out, number one, that it means that God calls out the motive of the attackers. And without going over a whole lot of it here, one of the men tell me, what is the motive in verses 1 through 5 and verse 12 of the attackers? Either you can yell it out, or I'll do this. Sarge.
They want to cut Israel off from being a nation.
Yes, they say very clearly in Psalm 83, verses 1 through 5 and verse 12, they want to cut Israel off from being a modern-day nation. They are angry. They are upset that they are a nation. Now, let me just say to you, they're upset with God, because God gave Abraham, through Isaac, not Ishmael, and Jacob a land contract. And that land contract goes all the way from Dan to Beersheba in the north and south, and it goes all the way from a branch of the Nile in the Sinai Peninsula, the river of Egypt, all the way to what river? One of the men tell me? Yep. The Euphrates River. It goes all the way to the Euphrates River. Do you know that that covers all of the modern day Arab nations that are involved in this conflict, that have fought against Israel being there? And so God has a land contract with Israel. You say, I don't like that. We'll take it up with God.
Right.
But the motive is, you see, to cut off Israel out of the promised land. They tried it in 48, failed. They tried it in 67, failed. They tried it in 73, failed. They're going to try it again. And for the first time in 50 years, war has been declared upon these neighbors of Israel, specifically Gaza at this time. It hasn't yet expanded, Gaza at this time, but we believe if it is the Psalm 83 war, it will expand. That's their motive. Number two, and we have three main points we're going to deal with. The second thing we looked at, and God calls out their names. Can anybody give me some names of the people that are going to attack? They're listed in Psalm 83, but you can give me their modern names. Who are they that are going to attack?
Iraq and Iran.
Iraq. Well, Iran is not in Psalm 83. I walked is in there, but not Iran. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, Iraq is in there, and they're mentioned with Syria under Asher, which is part of the Assyrian Empire. Sarge.
How about Jordan?
All right, how about Jordan? And he would be right. Jordan is definitely one of the nations in there. Luke, do you got another one?
Lebanon. Lebanon.
Lebanon is another one that's mentioned in two places, one under Tyre, another under Gebal, and that would be Lebanon in the north. Luke, another?
Gaza.
Gaza, yes, that would be the Philistines who dwelt in the Gaza Strip, right? That's western, right on the Mediterranean Sea, the Philistines. Give me another.
Hezbollah.
Hezbollah, and they're in the north in Lebanon, and that would be them. Brother Bob.
The remnants of ISIS that were left over after Donald Trump decimated them was confirmed that they got into the
Wow, Syria and Iraq, the remnant of ISA. And by the way, they're allied with Iran. All right, somebody else. Go ahead, Jose. The Palestinians, right, the Tabernacles of Edom. They're the Palestinians. You hear about them all through that land. And they are really being used by the Arab nations to try to cause trouble for Israel. And they want to use them as propaganda. Oh, you're abusing the Palestinians. No, the Arab nations that got the Palestinians to lose their homes in 48, they're abusing them and they won't take them in. Palestinians have been given the right to self-rule, and they've abused their own people. They've taken the money and used them for weapons. Why? They hate Israel, and they want to get rid of Israel. Okay? Yep.
Saudi Arabia?
Saudi Arabia. Who are they? The descendants of Abraham's son Ishmael. They're the Saudis, and they're the Sunni Islamic people, and Iran is very jealous that they were making peace with Israel, especially Saudi Arabia, because that would mess up Iran's plans. They don't like that. Jose?
Egypt,
the Hagarenes. Egypt, right. Luke?
Sinai.
Sinai, very good, and that would be Amalek in Psalm 83. And remember, the Sinai Peninsula was conquered by Israel in 1967, and they gave it back to Egypt. They gave it back. They didn't give back the Golan Heights. They didn't give back the old city of Jerusalem, but they gave back the Sinai in parts to Egypt. But wait a minute, friends. If the Psalm 83 war is being fulfilled, and I believe it very well could be, you will see the entire map of the Middle East change. Not only will these people lose this time, like they've lost before, but they will lose their autonomy. Israel will be over them. It won't be called Palestine anymore. All the way from the river of Egypt in Sinai to the Euphrates River in Iraq, it will be called Israelistine, if you will. That's just a little nickname for it, Israelistine. In other words, it's going to be Israel. Israel is going to win out. And that gets us to the last point, which is God calls out the victors. God calls out the victors. And I mentioned I'm glad they're not like Michigan because I don't believe the polls, but I like that 49-0 victory over Michigan State. That was good. But at any rate, Israel is going to pitch a shutout in this, and they're never going to arise anymore to attack Israel. It's going to be over. I'm talking about all these nations that were just mentioned. Israel will control all that land that they have. Can you believe it? It's amazing. But God's word talks about this. And so Israel is fighting for its existential existence. And Iran is stirring the pot. And we'll look at that in the future, Iran, and what's going to happen there. But just for this one, we're finishing Psalm 83. And so these nations, they're going to attack, but Israel's going to win and possess all of that land, and they're the victors. Now, remember, in Psalm 83, there were two different wars that were mentioned in the book of Judges, chapter 4 through 8. And does anybody remember the leaders that God called on from Israel to fight those wars? Two different leaders?
Deborah
Deborah and Barak, right. And they fought Jabin and Sisera, the Canaanites. And remember, they defeated them. And the Canaanites had been for 20 years dominating Israel. And it was over. They never dominated them again after that. And that's a picture of what we're talking about. These Arab nations that have been pestering Israel since 48, they're never going to do it again after the Psalm 83 war. It's over. And then we had one other leader. Who was the other leader? All right, got Luke right here.
Gideon.
And Gideon fought who, Luke, do you know?
The Midianites.
And just like the Arab people have outnumbered Israel, like 180 million to just about 8 million, so it was with Gideon. He was outnumbered with 300 men and all those 120,000 Midianites. But guess what? Gideon won. And the IDF is going to win. God's going to cause them to win. And so Gideon, you know, God caused them to win. They actually fought one another. Remember when they broke the pitchers and the light came and they thought it was a bigger invasion. And it's going to be a victory. You're going to see it. And so we already started a message on this, that hail to the victors, that God calls out the victors. And it's Israel to win over all of these Islamic Arab nations that are an inner core of nations that surround Israel right now and have wanted to cut them off. Now, tonight, I want to finish this up, that God calls out the victors. And I just want to go into this and finish this one up tonight. But let me just say that some people say, well, this is Ezekiel 38 and 39. This is the Gog-Magog war you're talking about. No, it's not. First of all, the Gog-Magog war is an outer ring of mainly Islamic nations that we said before, they're not out to cut Israel off from being a nation or remember them. They're out, as Brother Bob said last time, for money, for spoils. They want to get their natural gas wealth, their oil wealth. Israel, after this Psalm 83 war, is going to grow to be one of the wealthiest, if not the most wealthy nation on earth. And that will bring great jealousy and envy from this outer ring of nations. And I'm talking about Turkey, and I'm talking about all of the stands, which are the former Soviet Union, the Central Asian Republic, Tajikistan, and all of them. And they're going to come down onto Israel. But remember, Israel, according to Ezekiel 38:39, is going to be expanded. And they're going to dwell in the middle of the promised land, which is present-day Jordan. And they're going to dwell without bars and gates and walls. And they're going to be at peace. And these nations... Now, if Ezekiel 38:39, it mentions all of the different people that are going to come against Israel in that war. That's another war. That's the next prophecy. But it doesn't mention Saudi Arabia. It doesn't mention Lebanon. It doesn't mention Iraq or any of these other countries. Why? Because they've been conquered in Psalm 83. Or they would be mentioned. And so you have to understand the now prophecy is the inner core of these nations. And then when Russia and Turkey and the stands and Libya and reconstituted Iran, when they attack, it's going to be a bigger, richer Israel that they're going to come again. And they're going to overrun it. And it's not going to be the IDF that gives the victory. It's going to be God through an earthquake and through fire that God will send during that time. And a lot of people have said, you know, at that time, the United States will not have the power we have now because they won't do anything militarily to try to stop them. They won't be able to put up any kind of military opposition. So go figure what that means. But at any rate, we're talking about this is going to be a great victory for the Israelites. And let me just say this. I believe that this is mentioned in Ezekiel 28 and verses 24 through 26. And I'm going to read to you about the inner ring of nations right now that may be involved in this war very soon. And here's what it says as far as the result of this war that's coming, this Psalm 83 war. It says, and there, Ezekiel 28, it says, and there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel. Listen to this. And there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them, that despise them. And they shall know that I am the Lord God. That's Ezekiel 28, 24 through 26. Does that parallel Psalm 80? Does that parallel Psalm 83? Does that parallel the verses in Psalm 83 that we're studying on the victory that start off and says in verse 13 right through verse 18 that Israel get the victory? He says in Ezekiel 28, 24 through 26, he says, there'll be no more a pricking briar under the house of Israel, no more a grieving thorn that despise them. They shall know that I'm the Lord. And so there it is, all them that are round about them. That's what we're talking about. That is a wonderful parallel in Ezekiel 24 through 26. So there's going to be a victory. It's going to stop these Arab nations. They were still bothering them, 48, 67, 73. Now in 2023, still bothering Israel, right? Still doing all this terrible stuff, but it's going to be over. You know what? We need to be encouraged, amen, that God can give a victory for his people. By the way, you know God can give a victory in the United States of America too. Do you know that our nation has Palestinians, Hamas terrorists, and those kind of people coming up through the southern border in the millions? Do you know they're planning to launch an attack on the United States? Because when Iran gets it, Iran's planning this to get us. Iranians are chess players. They're not Arabs, they're Aryan people. They came from Japheth like a lot of white people do. And they're darker, but they're still Aryans. And they're chess players. And they want to kill the United States. They call us the what? Great Satan. And they call Israel the little Satan. Don't forget that. You know why they call us the great Satan? Because of Christianity. And the God of Jesus Christ that has been in the founding of this nation. But listen, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble himself. I'm not depending on America and the pagans in America. I'm depending on God's people. And that's what we need to get right with the God of the Bible and walk with the God of the Bible. And you can help to save this nation. I believe that with all my heart. And to get Donald Trump back in there, because I believe God's raised him up. And that's why Satan hates him so much. And hates these people. And so we are those that, and notice Trump is a friend to Israel, and he's been a friend to Christians, hasn't he? I don't know if he's a Christian. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. I don't care. He's a friend to Israel, and he's a friend to Christians. Right. And God raised him up. And so, by the way, these people in the, these demon rats, especially that are in Washington, they're for the Palestinians. And they're saying, oh, if you see somebody for the Palestinians, don't believe it. They're for Satan. They're against God and God's plan. Because we got it right here in the Bible. This is God's plan. You say, do you hate Palestinians? No, I love them. I want them to get saved. And the best way they can get saved is for Israel to win. And then for us to witness to them. And so this is what we're talking about. The victory that is coming and trusting God for that victory. And the Bible says it is going to happen. And the next war, Ezekiel 38 and 39, that we're talking about with this outer ring of nations, it says after Psalm 83, sometime after, it says, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. And all of that. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Lord. All right, so that is what God says there. And we can count on that being fulfilled from God's hand. And so before Ezekiel 38 and 39, there is going to be that victory that God is going to give to Israel, and they'll be able to dwell safely without walls, and they'll be attacked when they're at peace and they're having a wonderful time of it. By the way, it says they're going to plant vineyards. When I went to Israel in 2016, do you know that people from South America, some of the greatest banana growing countries in South America, they send people to Israel to figure out how they're getting such wonderful bananas and wonderful vineyards and wonderful fruit. I'll tell you how it is. God's blessing the land. And it used to have malaria and mosquitoes and swamps years ago, back at the turn of the 20th century. Not anymore. It's just blossoming. And God speaks about this. And so we have all of this that is being talked about. But at any rate, I want to say something else about what's going to happen. I want you to look with me at Isaiah 17, 1 and 2. And when these nations attack Israel, in Psalm 83, something is going to happen that Israel is going to get a bit desperate for a time, I believe. And I want to tell you something. Does anybody know the war where Israel got desperate? And where, and I know I'm going to ask Brother Bob for this, but Israel got desperate. And when they got desperate, they said, we are going to have to pull out the Samson option. Now, what's the Samson option? Remember Samson? He put his hands between the two pillars, and the Philistines were gloating over him. And he prayed to God for strength, and God gave him his strength one more time. And he pushed the pillars, and 3,000 Philistines fell down and were killed. And Samson was killed. And Bobby, what's the Samson option that they contemplated? What war was that?
1973 Yom Kippur War.
That's exactly right. They have nuclear weapons. Israel does. By the way, they have dolphin submarines in the Mediterranean. And they're nuclear warheaded submarines. They can come and shoot nuclear weapons right from the Mediterranean Sea. I swam in the Mediterranean. Beautiful ocean. They have them there. Dolphin submarines. They have nuclear weapons. They've had them for years. And they were going to shoot them to the point they were going to destroy themselves and destroy the enemy. And as Bobby knows, what changed it was the great general Ariel Sharon broke through in the Sinai Peninsula and began to win. And it turned the Yom Kippur War around, and they didn't have to use the nukes. I believe in this war they may very well have to use the nukes. And you say, well, why? Well, for one thing, Hezbollah has 150,000 rockets aimed at Israel, and they're shooting them. Hamas has about 100,000. And you've got weapons. Have anybody heard weapons from North Korea coming in now to arm these people? Yeah. You see, Satan hates Israel. And so Israel, here's what it says. Let me read this to you. Remember, Syria is going to attack. And the children of Lot, the Bible says Syria is going to help the children of Lot. The children of Lot stand for northern and central Jordan. Ammon in the north and Moab in the center of Jordan. Here, and it says in Psalm 83 that Asher, A-S-S, Asher, H-U-R, that's Syria and Iraq. They're going to help the children of Lot. That's Jordan, northern Jordan. Now, here's what it says. The burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. Now, listen, keep in mind, Damascus, about 4,000 years, been an oldest continuing city. It's never been destroyed, in my understanding. Never been destroyed like is being prophesied here. So this will happen. I believe this Psalm 83 war will create that through a nuclear bomb. And it says the cities of Aroer, A-R-O-E-R, are forsaken. They shall be for flocks which shall lie down, and none shall make them afraid. In other words, because of Arab Islamic enemies, after this bomb goes off, none will make them afraid. Now, where is Aroer? I studied this out a little bit more, and I found out it's just east of the Jordan River. It's in the ancient land of Moab, and Aroer is right by Amman, Jordan. And guess what? Not only is Damascus going to be destroyed, but the city of Amman, Jordan. And you can understand if Syria is helping Jordan, where they would blast this nuclear weapon. So it's going to be just east of Israel. By the way, the land of Aroer that we just said, which will be affected by the nuclear bomb, that land was taken over by Moses and given to Gad and given to Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh and Reuben. Reuben got it, Gad got it, and the half tribe of Manasseh. So that was the land of Israel east of the Jordan. Remember that? And they settled there, but that has been given over. Listen carefully, no talking. That's been given over to what country? One of the men tell me. What country now has that country east of the Jordan? Yes.
Is it Iraq?
No, it is Jordan. Jordan has it. And so what I see here, and this is what it means, that Damascus, Syria, where one-fourth of the Syrian people are, is going to be destroyed. But you know what? I think Israel's going to say, evacuate out of Damascus. Because it says in the prophecy, and I'll read it to you at the end, it says that it's going to be the men of war that will be killed. So I think what's going to happen is Israel's going to say, get out of Damascus, and then the men of war, the Syrian armies, are going to be killed. But also the same thing will happen in Amman, Jordan. So it may be one weapon will take out both Amman, Jordan and Damascus, and the fallout will affect all the way just east of the Jordan River that used to be Israel. So let me wrap this up. And I want to give you, to conclude the message, a summary of what Israel's victory in Psalm 83 will accomplish, okay? Number one, it's going to accomplish the preservation of the nation of Israel in their promised land and expand their territory to include the entire land promised to Abraham. And you know, Israel was regathered back there in unbelief, Ezekiel 36 and 37. Well, Israel is going to stay there. They're not going to be knocked out, and they're going to even expand their territory. By the way, every time people attacked Israel, what happened? Haman, a new holiday. Hitler, May 14, Israel's independence. Every time the enemies of Israel attack them, it seems like they got another holiday to celebrate the victory. And that's going to be what's going to happen here. All right, secondly, listen to me very carefully. The control of the Temple Mount will go to Israel, I believe. You say, Pastor, why will that be? I'll just briefly tell you, the Temple Mount is controlled right now. Even though Israel owns it since 1967, it's not controlled by them. They gave it over to who? The Jordanian religious leaders. But guess what? Jordan is going to be decimated by this victory, and Israel will control the Temple Mount. Are you looking for Christ to come back? That's what this is all about. That'll be another big step forward. Because we know when Christ comes back, before he comes back, Israel will have their temple and their sacrifices. Mark it down. A third thing I want to say is, listen very carefully, there's going to be a time of peace and a time of security for Israel with no walls, no constant thorny conflicts from Arab Islamic neighbors, and the end of Arab aggression against Israel to get them out of their land. Oh, glory be to God. How good he is. Number four, there will be a fulfillment of Ezekiel 37:10. Here's what that says. And they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Do you know what I heard when Benjamin Netanyahu drafted the soldiers to fight? Do you know that there were 400,000 reservists that volunteered to fight in the Gaza? Do you know that the IDF has become an exceedingly great army? And that is something. And after, listen to me, after this war, after this victory, they are going to be considered right at the top of the armies of the world. And so, an exceedingly great army. I have a son-in-law, and his father taught firearms, and he's run a firearm training, and he also does hand-to-hand combat. He actually went every year to Israel to train the Israeli army in hand-to-hand combat. I don't believe he's doing that now, but he did that quite a bit. That's going to be something. And number five, the expansion of Israel to the boundaries that God made to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, that is going to be an evidence of God's foreign policy to Israel. Don't be afraid to stand up for Israel getting their promised land. Because the Bible said to Abraham, he that curses you will be cursed. He that blesses Israel will be blessed. So I consider myself a friend of Israel. You say, where does that get you? It gets me doing what God said. And I like what Lisa said. She got a hold of me and got our message, and she's putting it out there in Israel now. And these messages are going out in Israel because people know over there that we're believe in the God of Israel. And we believe that Jewish people can accept the Messiah through this. Amen. And if Arab people want to be saved, guess what? They got to come through the Jewish Messiah. Jesus said, he said, salvation is of the Jew, man. So the Messiah doesn't come from Ishmael. Sorry, you got to repent of your unbelief. You got to accept the Lord. You say, I'm too proud for that. Well, then you're too proud to get saved. And even Jewish people, you've got to repent and realize Jesus is the Messiah. Yeshua, he is the Messiah. And accept him. And I believe that's a result of this war, opportunity for that. And number six, as I said before, the destruction of Damascus and the destruction likely of Amman, Jordan, will take place during this final war that is going to take place, Psalm 83. And it's going to be destroyed in connection, it looks like, with an attack on Syria and its capital in Damascus. And it talks about that. And that attack may come from the sea, from a dolphin submarine. And here's what it says in Jeremiah 49, 24 through 27. Listen to this. This goes along with Psalm 83. Listen up real carefully. Jeremiah 49, 24 through 27 says, listen, Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee, and fear hath seized on her. Anguish and sorrows have taken her as a woman in travail. How is the city of praise not left, the city of my joy? Therefore her young men shall fall in her streets, and all the men of war shall be cut off in that day. See, I told you, that it looks like Israel told the women and children to leave before they bomb it. Because it says, her young men shall fall, the men of war shall be cut off in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will kindle a fire in the wall of Damascus. Damascus, my friends, will be suddenly destroyed along with Amman, Jordan. You say, well, what about the destruction of Jordan? I don't have time to get into it, but if you look at Jeremiah chapter 49, 1 through 5, I believe you'll have a detailed account of the destruction of Jordan. Jeremiah 49 and 1 through 5. Let me just read a couple of verses from that in closing here, Jeremiah 49, 1 through 5, it says, concerning the Ammonites, that's northern Jordan, thus saith the Lord, hath Israel no sons? Hath he no heir? Why then doth their king inherit Gad, and his people dwell in his cities? You know what that's talking about? He's saying that land is what Moses conquered. That's the land east of Jordan. That land goes to the tribe of Gad. Remember Gad and Manasseh, the half-tribe of Manasseh and Reuben? That was their land. But who was it given over to? One of the men, tell me. Jordan. Jordan has it now. And God is saying here, hey, doesn't Gad have heirs? Doesn't Gad have sons? Why is that given to Jordan? And then God is saying there in verse 1 that, and then he says in verse 2, Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will cause an alarm of war to be heard in Rabbah of the Ammonites. You know what that is? Jordan, Amman, Jordan. And I believe that's going to be the destruction of Jordan. Because you see, God says they have the promised land. No, that's not their land. That's not their land. It was given, you see, in the 20th century by the United Nations deal. It wasn't God's deal. God's deal is in Genesis 12. And it shall be a desolate heap, God says, and her daughters shall be what? Burned with fire. Then shall Israel be heir unto them that were his heirs, saith the Lord. Howl, O Heshbon, for Ai is spoiled. Cry, ye daughters of Rabbah. That's Jordan, Amman, Jordan. Gird you with sackcloth. Lament and run to and fro by the hedges. For their king shall go into captivity. That's like refugees going out of there. Their king shall go into captivity, and his priest and his princes. Listen, there's going to be a great war over in the Middle East. And we need to see the word of God speaks to this. And the territory of Gad was part of Israel, but it was given to the Jordanians in 1946. By the way, how about southern Jordan? We talked about northern and central Jordan. Listen to this. In Obadiah 1:18, the prophet of Israel speaks of Edom, southern Jordan. It says, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame. Jacob is the southern part of Israel. Joseph is the northern part. And it says, and the house of Esau, that's Jordan, southern Jordan, the house of Esau for stubble. And it says, and they shall kindle in them and devour them. And there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. For the Lord hath spoken it. Wow. There are people that remain from Esau. They're the Jordanians, the Palestinians there. Obadiah 1:18, God says, no more. No mas. No more. No more. You don't fight against the God of the Bible and win. You surrender to the God of the Bible. That's the way to win. And that's what we wish that people would do. Kiss the Son, Jesus, lest he perish from the way. By the way, if you haven't yet accepted the Lord and put your trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, you need to do that. If you're an Israelite and you hear my voice, Yeshua HaMashiach ben David, he is the one that descended from David. You need to accept him. He is the only Savior of the world and of Israel. And the fact the Lord God of Israel, not Allah, is the one true God, that's what's going to come out of this victory. So many Muslims, they see all these Arab nations and they say, it's Allah has given us this. Allah is going to be humbled big time. Islam is going to be humbled big time. You say, by what? By Jehovah God. By the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you will see it happen. And it will be an opportunity to witness to Jews. It will be an opportunity to witness to Muslims. And I'll just read you the verse. I've already read it, but here's the concluding verse of Psalm 83. When it comes to this victory, it says in verse 18, that men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, By the way, I am a Jehovah's Witness. Not a Jehovah false witness. I believe in Jehovah Jesus. I believe Jesus is Jehovah God. And they don't believe that. Jehovah false witnesses, they don't believe that. Jehovah false witnesses need to repent and accept Jehovah Jesus. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, and whose name is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Wonderful. It's not Allah. It is the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful Bible we have here. Amen. What a wonderful open door we have here in America and in Israel. We have many enemies, many adversaries, but beloved, let's be right with God. Let's walk close to our God because we're on the winning side. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I wonder, as we've been preaching this,